to remind you today why it is profitable for you to be listening to us and people that share things like this, because I found that out. I know you will have looked at it yourself in Psalm chapter 1. It talks about the man and woman who daily looks into this law of liberty, who meditate, who ponders on it, who use every opportunity that they can find, whether online or offline, to an investment today. He said it's like a worthy investment. It's like I think the best life assurance project that you can do. Because most of the life assurance premium and bond that people buy is just for their loved ones. But this one, you can secure your life with it. There's no down moment. He said whatever the person does, prospers. That is it. There's no drought, no dry moments.
There'll be a tree planted by rivers of water. Consistent supply.
Consistent fruitfulness. So that is it. Mm. And so that is a word investment. So if you are using your data for this, it is like it is a life assurance that is very good. Mm. So we invite you again today to this profitable investment as we go into this story of this John chapter 4. You know, it's more than a story. You can see so many episodes of this Samaritan woman. It's an encounter in which you are part of it.
Mm.
You are written into it.
Mm.
And there you can get to see the Lord more better. So we hope we are going to move from verse 10 today. We've been on verse 10 for how many episodes? Like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I think maybe 3 episodes really. We've been on verse
10. So much.
Check out our page, facebook.com/expose, X for silent from Pose 247, so you can get all of our transmissions on this Bucket Ministry series.
So there's still so much on this unwinding, never-ending conversation with this woman. So let's run into it.
Now, viewers all over the world, welcome again to this Bucket Ministry series. On this particular episode, if you were in the last transmission, we were on the 10th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of John. And this is just an encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And don't forget, we've re-emphasized in the past, but we'll say it again today, that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will give you a vivid picture of what the mission of Christ will be, you know. For us in the new covenant, that we read the epistles, for us we look back on these things. But for her, our people that encounter Jesus in the flesh, is a perfect opportunity to see what is coming is actually all about. And that's why you get lots of revelation and understanding and insight for life in Christ by looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So in that vein, we are looking at this. Now come with us quickly to the 10th verse that we've been looking at.
Now, we are reading the 10th verse again.
The 10th verse again, because it will be a springboard to go into the next verse for today. So I don't want to rush over these things.
Okay.
Can you read the 10th verse again of John chapter 4, the 4th chapter of the book of John, the 10th verse?
What does Jesus say? Answered and said unto her,
yes,
if thou knewest the gift of God,
okay,
and who it is that said to thee,
okay,
give me to drink,
okay,
thou wouldest have asked of him,
okay,
and he would have given thee living water.
Now, you see, today the insight that the Holy Ghost is bringing today is that in that 10th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of John, Jesus presented to us and to humanity something radical about the gospel, and that this is it, that the gospel will be all about exchange. Now, I'll repeat that slowly, that life in Christ, encounter with the Lord Jesus, will have to boil down to exchange. Look at what he said, I give you what? Living waters, but you also give me to what? To drink. So Jesus is saying, if anyone will encounter him, if anyone will have Christ living in them, if anyone will have anything to do with giving their life to Jesus at all, they have to understand that this will only work on divine exchange. It is exchange. There's nothing else. So it means if you encounter Christ, one thing must happen. There has to be an exchange. He said, woman, if you give me what you have, I'll give you what I have. And that is the negotiation or dialogue that Jesus wants to have with humanity. Jesus has not come to, in a way, improve people. He has not come to make people better. He has not come to give people insight on how to have a leverage. You know, people talk about leverage in the business world. They say, well, if you get some form of money or some form of loan or some form of connection to people, or you know somebody, or you have some resources or some access to some things, it gives you what? Leverage compared to what? others. May I say this to you, the gospel of the Lord Jesus has not come to give humanity leverage. What the gospel has come to do is to say to humanity, everything that you have, I need to take it of you. Mm-hmm. And everything that I have, I'm going to give it to you. So if the gospel is not being presented from the point of exchange, it's not a true gospel. So what we see in that 10th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of John is a snapshot where Jesus is encapsulating and telling humanity, this will be all about what?
Exchange.
That is what it's going to be all about. It means you need to look at yourself and look at what the human nature, the sinful nature, the godless nature has brought humanity into, and understand this is what Christ has taken to the cross. And then you look at Jesus and look at his perfect obedience and look at Jesus, look at his perfect approval with the Father when he said, this is my beloved Son,
Amen.
In him I'm well pleased. Look at Jesus, look at the goodness of Christ, the compassion that makes up who Christ is. Look at the righteousness by which he lived his life in the flesh. Look at the holiness, the purity. Look at the fact that Satan could find nothing in him according to his own testimony in the Gospels. Look at all that and then think about it, that Jesus said, that is what I've come to give to you. That's your benefit now. That's credited to you. Now, I submit to you that that's what the gospel encapsulates, exchange. And the 10th verse of John chapter 4 presents that to us in a very radical way. That's what we see there. So it means that every time you think about Christ, every time you think about your salvation, always think of exchange. That's what should come to your mind. And I want us to see something quickly before we go to the 11th verse. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 so that we can see how this works. I mean, for even somebody who has begun to live in the epistles, Galatians chapter 2, to understand that the Christian life is all about exchange. That is what the 10th verse tells us. Galatians 2, you can read from verse 19, and you read that. Now, you have to understand the background of Galatians chapter 1, chapter 2, why it was written. It was written to people who actually, you can read from verse 19.
Right.
Now, before you read, don't forget the book of Galatians was actually a rejoinder. You know, they have something called rejoinder. In the word out there, if somebody brings out a release or said something, or people are doing or thinking in a particular way, or somebody issues a communique, then somebody can write a rejoinder. And a rejoinder says a response to what is already on ground. That's what a rejoinder is. So the book of Galatians is actually not a book that was written because somebody said, I think I should write something to my spiritual children. I should write something to people who are saved under my ministry. That wasn't the reason why it was written. It was written because there was a hot topic on ground. There was something that was already happening. So Galatians was a rejoinder for who? For who? Therefore, people who believed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, people who began in the spirit, now they want to be perfected in what? In the flesh. Those that actually they are born again, but they have begun to lose grip of what this salvation is all about. This is a rejoinder that was written to that class of people. And if you are listening to this today, if you are watching this transmission right now, you have to understand that if you began in Christ Jesus as an exchange life, you must continue in Christ as an exchange what? Life. Colossians 2 tells us, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, by the very same principle, if you came into Christ and Christ told you this is an exchange, if that's how you came into Christ, that's how you must continue in Christ as an exchange life. Give me to drink, I'll give you. You give me, I'll give you. Now that's what it's all about. Now it is not I'm going to add up to you or improve you. No, it is everything about you is wrong and everything about me is right. That's what the gospel is all about. So if you are born again, if you're not born again yet, or if you are already born again and listening to this, the principle stays the same. Always an exchanged life. That's what we see.
It then now, means that, before I go to that verse, it then means that you can never outgrow this exchange.
Now, as you are receiving, so you must walk in it. That's what it says in the scripture. So he encountered this woman in the 10th verse and it says, let's do an exchange.
So I'm reading from Galatians 2, verse 19.
19, and we'll go to verse 20. What does it say?
For through the law, I died to the law.
I died to the law,
And his demands on me.
Okay, demands on me. Okay.
Because salvation is provided through the death, the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
So that I might from now on live to God.
Okay, good. Go on, please.
Verse 20.
Yeah.
I have been crucified with Christ.
Now, look at that. Look, I've been crucified with Christ. Okay, good.
There is, in him, I share his crucifixion.
Aha.
It is no longer I who live,
okay,
but Christ lives in me.
Okay.
The life I now live in the body,
good,
I live by faith.
Okay.
By daring to, relying okay. on, and okay. completely trusting in the Son of God,
okay,
who loved me and gave himself up for me.
I'm not sure if you heard people talk about this Galatians 2:20 before, if something you've listened to or you read in the past. Well, right in that verse of the 20th verse of the second chapter of the book of Galatians is an illustration of exchange. So what the Apostle Paul is simply saying, this is how I live my life. Now, that's why I said the life I live now. I like the word I live now. He's saying, I'm talking to you. Even now that I'm a Christian, I didn't stop living that type of life. I'm carrying on with that same mentality even now. You know, the point is, for a lot of Christians or people who talk about these things, they apply this, I think, majorly to those who are going to give their life to Christ. At the point of giving their life to Jesus, a lot of people tend to agree with this principle. I think the problem is we refuse in most cases, or we are always lacking behind in most cases, to apply this principle even now that we are born again. Mm. That's where the problem is. So if the gospel was needed at the point of salvation, the gospel is needed to carry on in the new creation life in Christ Jesus. That's why, watch the statement of the Apostle Paul in the 20th verse. He said, the life I live now. This man was already born again. He was already saved. He said, I'm still using that principle now as I'm talking to you. So must you as well. You also must continue to use that principle. You must not stop. You must not stop to use what? The principle. If you do, what would happen is you might be starting in the spirit and then actually trying to get perfected in the flesh. What does he say? Let's go now to the crux of the matter. He says, I have been what? Crucified what? With Christ. He said, this is what happens. The life I used to have before, the nature I used to carry before, the waters that were flowing out of my life before, I lost it. Now, that's why Jesus told that woman, you give me to what?
To drink.
I needed to lose something. I need you to be deprived of something. Something that you have, woman. There's something that you're all about. I needed to lose it. So this man said, I have been what? Crucified. It means you couldn't crucify somebody who was not alive. You don't crucify somebody who is dead. You need to be alive to be killed, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't kill a dead man. So if Paul said, I have been what? Crucified. He was saying, whatever life I used to have, whatever nature informed my decisions, whatever nature informed my desires, whatever nature informed my mentality, whatever nature informed my passion, whatever nature informed how I see life, whatever life was all for me before, I lost it. I have now been what? Crucified. Somebody took this life away from me. Somebody took this nature away from me. So he's talking about the fact that I lost whatever life I used to what? Have. I've been crucified with what? With Christ. That's the point. You've got to understand that whatever makes you, whatever nature that you carry, whatever nature of sin, whatever nature of this world that was in your system, the scripture says you have to understand at new birth, you had a loss. You gave up something at new birth. That's what actually happened. So he says, I lost it. I've been crucified with what? With Christ. But he told us how he lost it. He said it happened with who? With Christ. And you think about it this way. A very good illustration might be something like this. If you have an animal, like a snake, if you have a snake, if a snake swallows maybe a rat or something, I mean, you've probably watched maybe some films or some videos online where you, or people have talked about situations where they found a snake that has swallowed another what, an animal or anything. You know, most times, if that snake actually dies because of the swallowing, or people kill the snake, in most cases, the very thing that the snake what, swallowed, they don't tend to survive, isn't it? Because those things are suffocated or strangled inside the snake. Now, the Apostle Paul has given us a picture of what happened at salvation. He's saying, in Christ Jesus, you need to understand that even though Christ was the one that was what? Crucified on the cross. You need to understand that you were crucified with him because you were in Christ. So it means he was the one that we saw on the cross. But the Apostle Paul said, let's look at the bigger picture. Even though we saw that it was Jesus that said, Father, it is finished. But he said, actually, it was finished for us as well. I was crucified with him. It means when he was there, I was there. When he died, I died. Now, this is what he was telling the woman in the 10th verse of John chapter 4, that I need to take this life away from you. Paul said, I knew what happened, that I'm crucified with Christ. Can you see? So whatever nature that used to be afraid of the future, because it is humanity, it is the nature of fallen humanity to live in fear. It's the nature of fallen humanity to live under the control, the element of this world, to live with last transmission. We're talking about the law of sin and death. It is human nature to be coerced by the law of sin and death. Can you see? To derive the meaning of your life from everything around you, to look to people, to look to things, to define who you are. That's human nature. That's the fallen Adamic nature. The Bible says if you are in Christ, you need to come to the understanding that when Christ died, that nature died with him. So the apostle Paul said, I knew this is my exchange. He said, I died. That life died. I lost it with when Christ died. I lost that life. I lost it completely. So when the enemy comes knocking at your door with the attributes of the old life, you can always reply the enemy that, sorry, that life was gone. I lost it. There was an exchange that happened at Calvary. I lost that life. You need to stop back to the enemy. I lost that life, because there are times the enemy will come to us and bring those attributes of that life, and bring the properties of that life, and bring the things that goes with that old life. You have to remind him and say, sorry, I lost it at the cross. I was crucified. I died. That thing died. That nature died. I lost the waters. He said, woman, give me to drink. I lost that water. That flow was gone when Christ died on the cross. Don't forget, the person saying this in Galatians 2:20 is not a new born again Christian. The person saying in Galatians 2:20 was an apostle of the faith. He said, the life I live now, can you see? He's still living in that revelation, even that stage of his apostleship in his life. That's what we see there.
Yes, for some people, it seems like they've lost the principle of exchange was just for a life then. So yeah, we are not living in the moment. We have already seen, even bought some books and we read about people who are famous for telling the beautiful testimonies of the salvation stories they go on about.
That's it.
And we know what happened, the exchange, what they were used to be, what they used to be before, and what are the Lord brought them from darkness, you know, and what they and what it is. But the thing, there's no present testimony of the ongoing exchange, continual exchange process in their lives. So that is where we just feel like, no, you are not helping. It's not helping now. For us that are living in the now, for the present testimony, we need the present testimony of the constant exchange that is taking place.
Exchange, a constant understanding.
And we see Apostle Paul talking about this, dying daily, the constant exchange. So taking the life of God, you know, deadening, weakening of the body, that is what we're talking about. That this thing, the exchange, will not be a pastime or something we just have to look back, and people have to take people back memory lane about. It should be what we are living. We should live in the present. Let
thank
us
you.
Live now.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that insight. And you see, you might be wondering, why is the Apostle Paul talking about exchange in Galatians 2:20 in agreement with John chapter 4, verse 10? The reason he's doing that has to be that there are some things that are staring him in the face. There were some things that were trying to run contrary to what happened to him in Christ Jesus. When I say run contrary, experiences and circumstances that make it look like there was no what? Exchange. Now, if you're doubting that, look at the life of the Galatian brethren. That's what's happened. The Galatian brethren were living life as if there was no exchange. That's why Galatians was written to them. It means to remind them that, have you people forgotten that you don't even have a life anymore? That nature, that the waters that were flowing from your life, the law of sin and death, those things that brought with it these attributes that are ungodly, unchristlike, those things, you lost the essence of that life at the cross. It was crucified with Christ. Have you forgotten that? That's why it's something that we don't just take as a one-off thing. It must be a constant what? Off topic, but something we talk about, something we live in, something that we, you know, we always meditate on, something that becomes paramount in our understanding. If not, what happens? The enemy can mess us around trying to bring those very same properties that were nailed with Christ on the cross. So we must continually talk about it. Now, see what it says now. He said, the life I now live in the flesh,
body.
In the body, the body is in the flesh, the KJV is in the flesh. Now, think about that. He says, you know, if I lost my life, if Christ took it away, it would mean that if he took what was from me, I must have taken what came from him. It means an exchange. That makes sense. It's 50-50. I mean, he takes mine, I take his. This is all about it. That's why Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul is saying, whatever life, and you know, you think about it, you cannot have a life without accepting what goes with that life. You know, that's just the point. I mean, if you were with us in one of our past episode talking about identity, we did say one thing, and this is going to come again alive today in today's transmission, that we might have a choice to choose an identity. You can choose what you want to identify with. People choose what political party they want to identify with. People choose what kind of caucus they want to what stick to. So we can choose what kind of organization, what kind of profession. You can choose, yes, your times you can choose whom you want to align your life with. You have that choice, but the choice you don't have is to decide that even though I choose to go with that particular thing, but I don't want to go with the things that will come with that choice I've made. You can't make that choice. Once you choose a particular direction, you have to sit down and live with the things that go with that particular direction. It's just common sense in reality in our lives today. It's the same thing with Christ Jesus. If the Apostle Paul is saying, the life I now live in the flesh, there's an exchange that happened. Jesus took my life. And how do we know he took his life? Because Jesus had to die. Jesus couldn't die. He was had to kill Jesus. He didn't have the nature of sin and death in him. So for Jesus to have fallen under the power of death on the cross, he must have taken a different life that was subject to death on the cross. We know he took Paul's life, but Paul says something. He said, now the life I also now live, I'm going to be using his own life, the life I live in the body now. What does that mean? It means Paul is saying everything that goes with the life of Christ, everything that goes with the resurrection life, everything that goes with the life of resurrection. Paul said, everything that goes with that life is what I begin to manifest from now on. Because I'm thinking every day that the life I live is based on the life of him that gave himself what for me. Are you that conscious? You know, today in the church, today among some Christians, we seem to have a different level of consciousness, a different type of consciousness. Most of us are conscious about our weaknesses. Some of us are conscious about sin, in quotes. Most of us are conscious about things that are not working in your body. You are conscious about your medical condition, maybe your health in your body. We are too conscious of some things, and we are not as conscious of the life of Christ that we have what received. Mm-hmm. The Bible is saying, if you're going to be conscious at all, this is the kind of consciousness that should always be with you. They say, oh, let me not forget that the life I now have is exchanged. It's not even my life anymore. It is the life of Christ. The life I live in the body. Thank God it is the life I live in the spirit.
Yeah.
It said the literal life I live now. This is the life of Christ that is in me now.
The life that people can relate with.
It's the life of Christ. It says we must.
So that means this is the life that is visible. You know, he's not talking about the life you have to talk to people. You have to talk to unbelievers to understand. This is what unbeliever can see. Not the one they say that we have to talk in the Christian language and some language they will, you can't understand, it's beyond you. So it's the life in the flesh. You interact and engage with the system, with them. So the what is that like? What about that life now? That is it. On what principle are you running? What's the fuel for this life now?
Oh my God. I challenge you by the Holy Ghost. No matter the things around you that look so strong, so obvious, those things that look so they are just right under your nose, the things that are actually challenging you, the things that everybody can see around you. I'm challenging you today by the grace of God to say that God wants you to have a different type of consciousness. This is the kind of consciousness that the Apostle Paul carried, and the kind of consciousness he was encouraging the Galatian brethren to have. In fact, he was simply saying if they've had this consciousness, they would be in the trouble that they were while he wrote then the book of Galatians in the first place. So, am I submitting to you that Holy Ghost, that it could mean that some of the challenges that we do have today, some of the things that we are grappling and dealing with, some of them are as a result of the fact that we are not carrying Christ consciousness, the life you live now. What are the properties of that life? Is it a life that looks for righteousness? Is it a life that says, if I do something, I will try to be holy? Just imagine Christ saying he wants to try to be holy. Have you ever, how does that sound to you? If Jesus said, Father, I will try to be holy. I will try. No, but you know, you and I know that he is the express image of the Father. We know that there was no guile, no blemish in him. Now, see what the Bible says. The life you now live in the flesh is that life of Christ. So how can you be trying to be holy if it's that life of Christ? How can you be trying to be perfect if it's that life of Christ that you have? How can you now be trying to gain dominion over the powers of darkness? How does that sound? How can you say, okay, I think if I fast 7 days, I fast and pray, and I go to a certain meeting, I will gain dominion over the powers of demons and the powers of darkness. Imagine Jesus saying that. Imagine Jesus. In fact, when Jesus showed up, we know that demons were the ones saying, have you come to what? To deal with us before our time. Now, the scripture says that kind of life that the demons were addressing is the life you live now in the flesh. Our problem is not that we don't have that life. Our problem is we don't live with a consciousness that the Apostle Paul had in Galatians 2:20. You don't speak like Paul in Galatians 2:20 unless you are conscious of what you're talking about. So Galatians 2:20 is a consciousness of exchange. That's what we can say. So it means Paul was echoing John 4:10 altogether. That's what he was trying to do. So it means, so you couldn't say you want to gain dominion over the elements of this world, over the seas, over the trees, or over the powers of the air. See, Jesus, the Bible says that he spoke and the sea became what? Still. He said, peace be what? Be still. He rebuked the storm. The storm had to listen to what he had to say. In fact, the disciples said, what manner? People said, what manner of man is this? Now, that manner of man, the Bible says, that's the life you now live in the flesh. You might not see it. You might not feel it. I'm not saying it might even give you goose pimples. That's the word. if it doesn't give you goose pimples that you have that life in you, it would mean that that life doesn't operate on the elements of this. It doesn't operate by the principles of this world. That's why the 2 Corinthians 5, it tells us we don't walk by sight. We walk by what? By faith. What that means is you couldn't know that you have this life by saying, how do I feel in my body? How do I feel in my mind today? The life doesn't respond to that, because the life of Christ that you have in you, it has his own sight. He has his own feelings. It's a different realm. That's why Bible says we don't walk by what? Sight. We walk by what? Faith. It sees by faith. Faith is his own sight. He has his own sight. It's faith. It means, faith means you know it is there. You talk like it is there. You reason like it is there. You communicate like it is there. You associate like it is there. The scripture says, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, the life I now live, I am conscious of a life that is in there. That's what you know there.
Yes, let me remind you again that say this life that we have, the Apostle Paul was telling us, is the same life. It's like it's explosive. The life that is in us is the same as the dynamite. It's the one that brought Jesus
from the dead. Oh, that's Ephesians. I mean, we might want to read that.
Yeah, so to understand it, for people to have a picture, so you know, to create a vivid image of what this kind of life we're talking about. So it's not something you can just shove around or something and feel like, oh, it's just there, something growing up, budding. It's so explosive. It was that brought Jesus out of the grave, and that is what we carry, and that is the life. It was a remembrance too, to them, reminding them that, see, what was inside of you is no joke.
Amen. Thank you for that. Now, this is the reason why. Now, what will a good teacher of the scripture, what would a man of God, a pastor, a leader, somebody feeding the people with the word of God, what is their assignment? They have only one assignment, to be able to train people in righteousness, to draw on that which they received at new birth. You know, 1 Timothy 2 that we read in last transmission, what did he simply say to us? He said that God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth that they have received. Jesus is the truth, but it says he wants us to come to a consciousness of that which we have received, because the scripture says with joy you will draw, can you see, water from the well of salvation. Salvation is a well, it's full. Salvation is full, it's loaded, but men must reach down and bring it out. It says draw. So drawing comes from knowing. That's it. I like the place where it says in the book of Peter, his divine power has given us all that we need for life and God, that's exchange. Yeah, because the divine power couldn't give us anything unless we give up that which we had before. But it says divine power has given us all that we need for life and for what? Godliness. You couldn't have that divine power and be saying you are looking for godliness. You couldn't have it and say you are looking for holiness.
Because you have it.
He said that power made it available, because it's not your life. It's
anymore.
You know, I think unless we paint this picture in a very, 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 very vivid way, people might not get a picture. Every time you have the life of Christ and you say, I think if I do these 3, 4, 5 things, they will guarantee that maybe I will make heaven. You know what you have done? You have relegated the life of Christ. You are simply saying, I don't think Christ's life is that even. What you have done is a stain. You are saying Christ is not worthy. Christ is not holy. Christ is not righteous. Christ is not perfect. Christ is not glorious. That's what you're saying, because you are not even supposed to talk about yourself anymore at new birth. You are supposed to be talking exchange at new birth. You are supposed to be reasoning like John 4:10. Give me to drink and I'll give you what? Rivers of living waters. You need to understand that's what the gospel is all about. So every time you talk about, I think for me to make heaven, even though I'm saved, they said I should not wear this kind of dress. They said I should not put on this kind of this, or I should not do this. Once you say that, it means you've forgotten exchange. That's, you've actually forgotten that it was all about what? Exchange. That is what we have come to do today, to bring the consciousness of exchange to you, to understand that if you are in Christ, then also you lost your life. You gave him to drink. If you are in Christ, you've given him to drink. So which water are you talking about? He said, now he said he's giving you what? Living water. So the gospel comes all the way back to exchange. That's what we see there.
Today we are believing the Lord that the Lord is going to use this transmission to kickstart and just keep some people in the boat and they can route to life from the unconscious and vegetative state. Because if we are not conscious of this thing, that means we are unconscious.
Yeah.
That is it. We are really unconscious.
You know what you just said? In the scriptures, one of the epistles, he says, awake unto righteousness. He didn't say become righteous.
So many people are in the vegetative state now.
To righteousness.
Because you are not conscious of this light of God. You are just in a coma. And so you need to wake up to the light that is inside of you.
Wake up.
That is it. For those people in coma, they have to still the light and then wake up.
Oh, they're not dead yet.
Yeah,
they still have readings on the, is it the ECG? Yeah. You can see the ECG readings. You can see the tracings on the ECG that they are still there, but they are not conscious. And that's why the scripture is awake unto what?
Righteousness.
And say not awake unto
to righteousness. So awake conscious. To it. Not go and look around for righteousness.
No,
awake to what you have inside.
It means it's not even my life anymore. That's it. So that's why I was trying to say then that some of the things that we say, they are actually castigating, if that's the word to use, the nature of Christ that we receive at new birth.
The degree, the values. If
that's what we are doing.
Yeah, and, the value and that life.
That's what we're doing the when we say something.
The precious life of God, the precious life that is explosive, that can bring resurrection to what is dying. The life that is the power that all that it needs for life and godliness is just packaged in that life. Everything you need is packaged in that kind of life. How would you want to devalue this? How do you want to degrade this?
That's it. That's it. That's why, at times, that's why you understand your authority and your dominion simply by knowing it can't be you. See, anytime you instruct things to happen, anytime you pray and you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare and I pray. Are you thinking about yourself? You are gone. Your life is, those things listen, not because you're not the one talking. It is the life of Christ, with the consciousness that you have to have. And that's what the Apostle Paul then told us again in one of the epistles. He said, if righteousness could be achieved by the law, then Christ died in vain. He said, I do not, watch that word, frustrate the grace of God. In frustration, a lot of people today in their place of work, some people maybe they just because they want to make money and they feel like there's some jobs they can do to get quick, easy money
to pay bills,
they don't tend to follow their dreams and they just say, well, I'm just gonna go into that job and try and get money from there. The one that they actually have passion for, they feel like it's going to take them some time to make money from that. You know, such people, it's a recipe for frustration, because even though they seem to be getting the money or whatever, but they are not fulfilled in what they are trying to do. This is just what happens in everyday life. Frustration always comes from when you know you have the capacity,
the potential
for something, but you're
bigger
not...
Bigger than
what you're expressing. It's just a recipe for frustration. That's what happens. And the Apostle Paul looked at the grace of God and said, personally, I made a decision. That's what Paul said, not to frustrate the grace of God. I know the grace of God. I know
the potential.
I know the exchange that happened. I know that the life I live now is the quality of the life of Christ. Get a pen and get a paper. Look through the epistles. Look through Jesus in the flesh when he was in the gospel. And write down everything that goes with the life of Christ that you can think about. Now, if you write down all those things, now think about it. Those were the things that were credited to you at new birth. And everything that you can think about who you are as a human, the failure of humanity, the sinfulness of humanity, the corruption of humanity, the frustration of humanity, the desperation of humanity, the limitations of humanity. Think about everything that goes with a fallen human nature that you can think about, the brokenness of this world. The scripture says that's what he took of you. So, exchange completed. If you can think about that, now go and leave the same and understand the fact that there are some things that have gone completely that were crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. So, what we have come to highlight to you today is to understand the Christian life is an exchange life at new birth, and it's an exchange life beyond new birth. And that's what we see in the scriptures. So, John 4:10 is just a shout out to the whole world that it's going to be all about exchange. That's what we see there.
Yeah, and again, we'll keep going back to this book of Philemon again, that the communication of our faith becomes effectual. There's no way you can live an effective life. There's no way you can live in the consciousness of what has been done on your behalf or what has taken place inside of you without acknowledging this. And what is acknowledgement?
Consciousness.
Yes, giving thought to this. Be aware. Live in the moment of it. Don't live in the past of what has been done. Live in the now.
The consciousness
of it. Every day reevaluate it. And we make decisions based on this. That is it. Working things out in the knowledge of what is inside of you.
Thank you so much for that. So it means we've looked at this and say it's all about exchange. Let's go back quickly to John chapter 4, the verse 10. We've just been on verse 10. I think it's high time. We're finally going to go to the 11th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of John. What is the 11th verse? What does it say, please?
The woman said unto him,
okay,
sir, thou hast nothing to draw with,
okay,
and this well is deep.
Okay.
From whence then hast thou had the living water?
Well, I think
for time, are we going to go?
Yeah, we can still go there to 11th verse and kickstart that today. Now, if you can understand, I mean, you can call this woman some slack, because if you think about it, Jesus actually did say to the woman that if you give me to drink, I'll give you what? Living water. Exchange, like we said. But the woman could understand, because I wanted to put yourself in the place of this woman. I can understand fully well. The woman, it made sense to this woman of Samaria when Jesus said, give me to drink. You know why it made sense? It made sense because she had the bucket. She had whatever she was going to use to draw the water from the well. Yeah. So it made sense when Jesus said, give me to what?
To drink.
So this woman understood that what Jesus was simply saying is about the water in Jacob's well. So she understood that. That made sense to her. But if you've been in our past transmission, you know that we have actually debated that from the Word of God. We've used scriptures upon scripture to say Jesus wasn't referring to what? The water in that well. But this woman, understood that's what she meant when Jesus said, give me to what? To drink. But where Jesus lost this woman, or this woman got lost in the conversation, was when Jesus said, if you give me to drink, then I'll give you what? Living water. Jesus said, you might say, wait. I understood the give me to drink thing because I could give you water. I had the bucket and I had what to draw with. But if you say you're going to give me some form of water, now you've lost me now because I don't see you with any bucket. Neither do I see you with anything to what? To draw with. That's why she said, even the water is what? Deep, just in case you have a plan to use your hand to get the water. So now I can simply say, Jesus, you lost me now. That's what the woman was trying to say. I'm lost in this conversation.
Well, what I would just think about it, I could see that in the natural sense, this woman is like very smart in the natural sense because she knows that Jesus should figure this out naturally, that she is the one that has the bucket. But she was trying to reestablish her position, that she has an advantage position in this exchange. That's why when you come to negotiation, you say, this is the position of power is with me. Yeah, because on this table, I have this.
Good.
And you don't have this.
Good.
So it's establishing this for Jesus to respond. How do you respond to this?
Yeah, good. Yeah, thank you for that. That's a way to look at it. But also, she was confused. To some extent.
Jesus, you have to clarify this.
How do you get the water? I can get the water. So, and you know why she was confused? From what I can see, she was confused because she thought the discussion was about the well that was in front of her.
Yes.
So, in fact, if Jesus had never mentioned that he wants to give her living waters, she would still have continued to think it was all about Jacob's well.
Well, the living water in verse 10 should have known that well is not living water. So he should have known that from that 10.
Yeah.
He must be talking about it. Or he should have even asked the clarification, what is living water? Is this well? Or where is living water?
She didn't have to. She didn't Maybe she didn't ask because she thought, okay, maybe there's a well some few meters away that it was gonna, where it's going to get. That's why she felt, okay, you want to give me some water. What are you going to use to draw the water? That's why we can then simply conclude she was busy thinking it was about well, you know, because, because she was wondering. I think if you asked St. Joseph with a bucket, literally with a bucket, she would have said,
much more relaxed. I feel
relaxed
like
and say, where's the well you're going to? Okay, fine. I think
you point me in the direction.
Well,
the
I know you've got a bucket. But she was surprised that you got nothing.
On you.
So, how do you want to get this living water? And in fact, pretty much she wasn't, maybe like you said, I agree with you. She was probably not even referring. Maybe she might not be thinking about the well where they were at the moment. But she has to believe, Jesus has to show some level of
seriousness.
That you had some bucket with you.
That's something.
That's what he said. What are you going to draw with? He said, what are you going to draw with? Okay, in case you want to use your hand, the well is what?
Deep.
So
I think this discussion we just have to stop now. I think okay. We are able to whet the appetite of all the stuff. There's still so much. If you think there's so much in verse 10, I think there's so much in verse 11.
Verse 11 is going to be a whole different thing entirely.
So do join us next time as we come on your screen and you come around to the our wall, the YouTube page, the Facebook, and wherever you find us on the website as we continue this conversation. You want to know what is in the 11th, and should you have your own thoughts, and how do you think it should have been? So we do welcome it. Please come to the page and drop this and share this around. So we'll see you next time. We want you to live in the moment, live in the now. Just get up from that unconscious state, you know. Ground to life, awake to righteousness.
The conscious of your exchange that happened.
Remember what was done for you, what is inside of you.
Amen.
And so I want to say today that as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in him.